We will be talking about not the great tribulation per se. We will address the issue of 144,000. I call it issue because many church members do not understand whether this number is literal or symbolic. Today, through the Bible, we will dig deep into the subject, and everyone will be clear about the nature of 144,000. So, the number of those that will come from the Great Tribulation is unfortunately misunderstood by many, even from our ranks or from the pastoral ranks. Today, the Bible will make it plain so that we may not be deceived by anyone not bearing the truth. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your dwelling place. That's where you bless your children. You bless them to get eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ. We don't want to forfeit our eternal life for whatsoever. Please manifest your presence in our heart and in our minds, that this message may be clear and the decision may be made to accept the truth. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. All right. So this is not part of the message per se, but I'm just trying it. So brothers and sisters, our job as I'm talking to you is to ask that God would send upon the church, upon every single individual, His Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we are lost, forever lost. A daily prayer for a daily outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So I'm glad to have Pastor Mark to ask us to pray about that, even though the subject is not centered on the asking of the Holy Spirit. So let's go. I said his name and his father's name in their foreheads. Whose name will be on whose foreheads? What will this mean to the church? When you go to Revelation 14, verse 1, you read, "Then I," talking about John, "looked, and there before me was the Lamb," capital L, meaning what? This Lamb is Jesus, standing where? On Mount Zion, which is the church. And with him, the church in heaven, how many is with Jesus on Mount Zion? 144,000 who had his name, the name of Jesus, and the name of his father written where? In their foreheads. You and I know very well that the seal of God will be placed on our forehead. You know it. Am I correct? The seal of God will be placed on or in our forehead. And here we see that the name of Jesus and the name of his father will be in the seal. The Sabbath and the names of Jesus and the names of the Father. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 says what? remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Am I correct? How do you keep holy the Sabbath? I'm not going to go into it, but you know that you cannot entertain any kind of speech or thoughts. You cannot do many things. You cannot talk about politics. You cannot talk about your job. You cannot study. You cannot wash your clothes. You cannot go shopping. There are many things that you cannot do on the Sabbath if you want to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Where is that inserted? What this verse is part of? It is part of the fourth commandment. So the fourth commandment has two parts. The first part of the fourth commandment is to work 6 days and to rest one day. There is no rest without work. Work comes first. You cannot rest without being tired. So it is nonsense keeping Sunday as day of rest when it comes first. You rest when you're tired. You are tired when you work. The Bible says to work 6 days, and then on the seventh, you rest. You got it? All right. This is not the topic, actually. But it's interesting to be talking about these things. So, the verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, daughter, manservant, maidservant, cattle, stranger, that is within thy gates. Meaning that everyone in your family, once they are on their ceiling, they need to keep that day. Whatever you have needs to rest. This is a requirement from the fourth commandment. Work is a commandment. Work is vital and is mostly done with hands. What can you do without your hands? Not so much. And the brain. If you don't have brain, you cannot work. So your brain commands your hands to work. That's why the seal or the mark of the beast will be either on your forehead or on your right hand. Verse 10 says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. So the Sabbath, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested when? The seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That means blessed it, make it holy by him keeping it, and hand it over to us that we may keep it holy, that we may rest, that we may commune with him, that we may commune with our brothers and sisters, otherwise we sin. All right. The seal, the sign or the seal of the Lord. Remember, we are talking about 144,000. So we have already seen that these people will have the name of Jesus, the new name of Jesus, which is not known yet. We don't know yet the new name of Jesus. That new name will be in our forehead. And the name of the Father will be in our forehead. And remember that work is part of the equation. Okay. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath. This is Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath. To be what? A sign. What is my sign? My sign in my family will be what? My last name. Ask my wife what is her name, her full name. she will tell you that her full name is Marie Sylvester Pierre. Where does she find Pierre from? From me. This is my sign on my wife. What is the sign of Elias on my children? Stitches call Lloydie Pierre. In Betsa Margely Pierre. Ninel Sendislev Pierre. Beautiful names, okay? You don't have to tell me. Pierre is my sign. Am I correct? The sign of God is sanctify my Sabbath and hallow my Sabbath, which is 20, and there shall be a sign between me and you. The Sabbath is a sign between God and us, his children. We are talking about the name of the Lord on our foreheads. The name of Jesus in our forehead, according to the Bible. This morning I was watching a little video, a clip coming from Doug Batchelor, presenting someone saying that those who keep the Sabbath, the seven-day Sabbath, are keeping a demonic Sabbath. A preacher. He said, you guys, you are keeping a demonic Sabbath. He was so mad, not being able to use one Bible verse to corroborate what he was saying. Hallow my Sabbath, and there shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. So the sign between God and us is what? The Sabbath. Okay. So sealed. That means it's talking about those who are sealed. It says, and I heard the number. If you go to Revelation 7 verse 4, what does John say? I heard. I need you to highlight heard. I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. I need you to highlight that too. All the tribes of the children of Israel. So, before moving forward, can somebody tell me whether this number, 144,000, is symbolic or literal? Can somebody tell me whether this is symbolic or literal? You said little? Symbolic? Symbolic? All right. Let's see, because the Bible will tell us the truth. Where are they sealed? Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So let me ask you a question. Why do you think God has not come yet? Jesus has not come yet. Because his children are not sealed yet. Once we are sealed, Jesus will come. So who do you think prevents Jesus from coming already? It is not the world. It is us preventing Jesus from coming. And what do we need to do? We need to preach this gospel by our words and lives. Get ready to be sealed. Jesus will then come. So Jesus has not come yet because of me, because of you. So we will be sealed where? The servants of the Lord, not anybody else. The servants of the Lord. Those that are not servants of the Lord will not be sealed. They will be marked by the beast in their forehead, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. So the Sabbath has the name of the Lord. Did you notice that? Notice that? Exodus 20 verse 11. The Sabbath of the Lord has the name of the Lord in it. Without the name of the Lord, there is no seal or no sealing. The Sabbath is the seal of the Lord. That is a fact from the Bible. But to be a seal, a true seal, the Sabbath has to have the name of the Lord in it. That's why you saw earlier, and you still see in it, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. As the Holy Spirit will seal the children, he will put in our forehead the name of Jesus, the new name that we don't know, and the name of his Father. This is so important. You see, when you go out there, you see the name of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, or Trump in front of the yards, or vote Biden, or vote Trump. We don't need that. Do you need that in front of your house? No, you don't need that. What you need in front of your house is vote Jesus Christ and the Father. This is what we need. And we need it not in front of our yard, but in our foreheads. And it says, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. So the earth will be what? Can you tell me? The earth will be hurt. The sea will be hurt. By whom? By three angels. Before God allows that to happen, he will seal his children. Okay? Who are these children? I don't know yet, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Revelation 7, verses 2 and 3. Let me ask a short question. Let me see the hands of those who want to be sealed. Thank you. Where do you want the seal to be placed? Okay. In your forehead, in my forehead. Sometimes I feel something. It's been a long time. Even this week, I feel something in my forehead. I say, could it be that God is sealing me? He will, if he's not doing it now, but he will. He will. The mark of the beast in their foreheads too. It's not just you being sealed by God in your forehead. The mark of the beast will be in those people's forehead who will not be saved. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads. Slave of sin will be marked by the beast. The poor in spirit will be marked by the beast. The free, those who want to do whatever they want to do with their bodies, those who kill children in their womb, the free, they want to be free. I want to do whatever I want to do with my body. They will be marked if they do not convert. They burn and changed by the devil. Those will receive the mark of the beast on their right hand because they need to work. The Bible says to work 4 days. No, 5 days. Am I correct? Or 6 days. From Saturday to Friday. Am I correct? Okay. From Sunday to Friday. Yeah. In their foreheads. Now, there will be a great tribulation. I want to use this man to talk a little bit about the great tribulation, but let me leave it alone because I don't want to cause problem. This is Doug Batchelor. This is Doug Batchelor. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, me is John, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Highlight, please. White robes. John is being questioned. John is being asked a question by an elder. which is in heaven. The elder asked John to tell him, who are these people who are arrayed in white robes? And the elder asked him, where are they coming from? Whence came they? John will answer. He said, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Who will be arrayed in white robes? The Bible says, those who came out of great tribulation. When will that great tribulation come to pass in our time? Will it be after 1,000 years? No. Will it be before the 1,000 years? Yes. Who will go through it and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb? And they sing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one, Revelation 14 verse 3, no one could learn the song except whom? 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. Let me go a little bit faster. No one could learn the songs. Which songs are these? The songs of Moses. What was the song of Moses all about? It was about the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt. Their tribulation lasted 430 years. And their great tribulation took place before the Red Sea. The great multitude and the 144,000. Why will the redeemed of the last day sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb? Because it will be about our redemption from sin and from the world. Moses was a type of Jesus. No one means the other people who are also saved, who did not know our tribulation, who did not go through our tribulation, will not be able to learn or to sing, neither to sing the song. So the multitude is the same as 144,000. I will show you. Let's see it. After the crossing of the sea, Exodus 15, this is one of the songs. The second song, another is recorded in Psalm 49:90, and the last song was written in the last days of Moses' life, Deuteronomy 32. The seal. I come back to the seal. Revelation 7, verse 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Who are they? The Bible says in Revelation 7, verse 5 to 8, 12 from the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Reuben, 12,000. Gad, 12,000. Asher, 12,000. Naphtalim, 12,000. Manasseh, 12,000. Simeon, 12,000. Levi, 12,000. Issachar, 12,000. Zebulun, 12,000. Joseph, 12,000. And Benjamin, 12,000. Are these tribes still alive? Can somebody tell me, are these tribes still alive? No. If they're not alive, but the Bible says the 144,000 will come out of the 12 tribes of Israel. So if the tribes are not alive as I'm talking, that means the tribes here are symbolic. If the tribes are symbolic, the number 144,000 cannot be literal. It will be symbolic as well. Let's see. Context and time, end of time. That's the context of it. Tribulation, 144,000, end of time. Do the tribes exist still today? No, as we just see. The Church of God has two periods since she exists. The Old Testament Church and the New Testament Church. Now, think with me, please. Who was the Church of God in the Old Testament? Israel. Thank you. Symbolic or literal? Let's go to this one. The Church of God in the Old Testament was the type of the Church of God in the New Testament. You have type and you have antitype. The type comes first, and then you have the antitype. Like Elijah was the type of us. Like John the Baptist was the type of us. Like Moses was the type of Jesus. Like the Israelites were our type. All right. We are the antitype. The Church of God in the Old Testament was called Israel, and the Church of God in the New Testament is called Israel. Spiritual Israel. By the way, just for the record, the Church of God in the Old Testament ended at the death of Jesus. When the veil of the temple rent in twain, and that no more animal sacrifices were needed. The New Testament Church of God began at the death of Jesus Christ as well, sealed by the new covenant made by or with his blood. I don't know. Symbolic or literal. Here, another parable. Jesus is speaking here. I believe this is in Matthew 21. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. Let out means rented out. Okay? And when the time of the fruit drew near, Jesus is speaking, he sent, talking about the householder, he sent his servant to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of the vineyard. And the husbandman took his servant and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Who are the husbandmen? The Israelite people are the husbandmen. They kill every prophet that God has sent them. And at the end, God said, let me send my own son, Jesus Christ. What did they do to Jesus Christ? They killed him. This is what Jesus is predicting they will do to him. Let us seize his inheritance. Again, verse 36. He sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Verse 37 says, but, this is so slow, but last of all, he sent unto them who? His only son. What did they do to him? They say, this is who? They're saying they will reverence my son. That's what the father said. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Talking about Jesus. And let us seize on his inheritance. What is the inheritance of God? His people. And they caught him, talking about Jesus, and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Now, follow me closely. He will let out his vineyard. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? This is the question that Jesus asked to the leadership of the Israelites. What will be their answer? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Who said that? The husbandmen. They say to Jesus Christ, when the householder comes, he will kill, destroy the husbandmen, and he will take the vineyard into the hand and let it out to other husbandmen. That means these people are predicting that God will take the gospel from them and give it to another nation, which is us Seventh-day Adventists. First, it was the pagan done unto us. Don't you see that we keep the commandments of God as the Jews were doing back then? Don't you see that we keep the Ten Commandments, the Fourth Commandment? Don't you see that we do not eat the same thing that the Jews did not eat back then? God has taken away the gospel from them. God does not consider them as his children anymore. We become the children of God, taken from you. Jesus said unto them, did ye never read, in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruit thereof. Now, when did Jesus say that? Back when he was alive. When was that accomplishing? When they killed Stephen? Now, if that happens about 2,000 years ago, the 144,000 cannot be the Jews anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus has predicted that the kingdom will be taken away from the Jews and let out to a new nation. So the 144,000 cannot be the Jews, and the tribes cannot be the Jews. It should be a different set of things. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that Jesus spake of them. The Jews are not God's children anymore, Gary. The true Israelite. For he is not a Jew. Follow until the end. Please. For Paul is talking here in Romans chapter 9, if I'm not mistaken. We will see it. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Outwardly. It's the Jews that you know that exist in the Middle East or in Africa are not the true Jews. This is what Paul is saying. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. They're not the Jews. The true Jews are us. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is inward. By faith. And circumcision is that of, okay, true Israelites. Who are Israelites? This is Paul speaking. Who are Israelites? If you say, okay, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom are, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. Let's keep going. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are of the seed of Abraham. Not because you were born in the lineage of Abraham that you are Israel. Neither, he said. That's what? Negation. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called my children. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not. Woman's mind. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. So those who were not Jews, we were not Jews. Even though I was born Seventh-day Adventist, but I was not born Jews. But it doesn't matter. They are not God's children. If they accept Christ, they will be part of God's children. So I need you to understand that. Symbolically, literal. We just saw that Israel is not literal, but symbolic. It really makes sense. Because the Israel of the Old Testament exists no more. Or no longer. Except for a few Jews, living everywhere in the world. And in the land of Israel, in Africa, or Middle East. If Israel is symbolic, then the number 144,000 is symbolic as well. We don't have the 12 tribes today. It must be the 12 type of spiritual characters that must be formed in God's children by the Holy Spirit before Jesus comes back. Don't forget, I told you to highlight white robes. And one of these elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Who are they coming from? Who are those who come from the great tribulation? After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. Remember, I told you to highlight, I heard. John said, I heard 144,000. And then he said, I beheld. Number four, I heard. And then now he said, I beheld. That means the same number. He did not see the number. He heard the number. Now God shows him the number. And he said, it was a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, of kindreds, people, tongues, stood before the throne of and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. 144,000 were arrayed of white robes. The great multitude arrayed of white robes and palms in their hands. And then, we are talking about 12 tribes. The Bible says, it is not 12 tribes. The way you understand it, these people will come from all nations, all kindreds, people, tongues. So the tribes represent those. I beheld. We just read it. He said, I beheld great multitude. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Think with me, brothers and sisters. I'm not doing chemistry here, but you may see some chemistry things. In verse 4, John said, I heard the number. In verse 9, he said, I heard. Think. I heard the number of them which are saved. 144,000. Why do I come with this subject? What is the reason of preaching on 144,000? Because some Seventh-day Adventists are preaching except for 144,000, none will be saved. And when you say that, how many of us here? How many in each church? That means few people will be saved? Either way, I would be saved. I will be saved. Either way, by God's grace. But do not make people a little bit afraid, saying that if it's just 144,000, I may not be saved. If you truly believe that you will be saved, you will. You will. In verse 9, I beheld. It's the same. It's the same. To show that the number is symbolic, John said, the number comes from all nations, kindred, people, tongue. Who are they? These are those who did not defile themselves with women. What is a woman in the Bible? What does woman symbolize in the Bible? Church. That means we know that there are many churches. Seventh-day Adventists do not mingle with other churches. We do not accept ecumenism. We do not accept the Pope as our leader. We accept Jesus Christ, our sole leader. Women, Catholic Church, Protestant churches, evangelicals, it doesn't matter. We do not mingle with them because we are a people that God set aside to preach the gospel to them. Likewise, the Israelite people were placed, we was a separate people, a peculiar people, a nation, how do you say it again? Holy nation. You separate from the others, for they remain virgins. You know, you're talking about spiritual virginity. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among mankind and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. Before Jesus comes, we need to be blameless. Before the end of the investigative judgment, for us to be forgiven completely, we need to be blameless. Their rank will not diminish. We're coming to an end now. We're coming to an end. All right. Let me ask you a question. How many Seventh-day Adventists do you believe out there we have out there? How many? We may be in the range of 20 million to 22 million or a little bit more than that. It's been about 5 years we were 21 million. Probably we are in 21 to 23 million Seventh-day Adventists. Look. But there are men who will receive the truth. And these will take the places made vacant by those who become offended and leave the truth. You know, many will leave the truth. Many will leave the church. Should not be you, Gary. Should not be me, Elias. When someone leaves the church, the place that he left vacant will be replaced immediately by somebody else. The Lord will work so that the disaffected ones will be separated from the true and loyal ones. The ranks will not be diminished. So some people said 144,000 are the number who will be saved. That is a big lie. Sister White says the ranks will not be diminished. Those who are firm and true will close up the vacancies that are made by those who become offended and apostatize. People will apostatize. The leaders, many leaders of the church, will leave the church, and people from everywhere will come to take over. That's how you see Sister Ella got converted. She may be taking somebody's place. Who has left the church probably in Georgia or anywhere in the world. You don't know who you are taking
place of. But I'm not giving my place to anybody. Hopefully it's the same for every one of you here. And she said, but truth will bear away the victory. Those who will maintain the truth, irrespective of consequences, will offend some whose hearts are not in harmony with the truth as it is in Jesus. These persons cherish theories of their own which are not the truth. The truth does not harmonize with their sentiment, and rather than give up their own ideas, they walk away from those who obey the truth. But there are men who will receive the truth, and these will take the places made vacant by those who become offended and leave the truth. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Men of true Christian principle will take their place and will become faithful, trustworthy householders to advocate the word of God in its true bearings and in its simplicity. The Lord will work so that the disaffected ones will be separated from the true and real ones. God will take them out of the church. Those who, like Cornelius, will fear God and glorify Him will take their places. The rent, one more time, will not be diminished. Those who are firm, that's what some church members may not be able to do, but I'm urging upon you to be firm. Those who are firm and true will close up the vacancies that are made by those who become offended and apostatized. So, brothers and sisters, not just the straight message, but also persecution will drag people out of the church. As the unconverted will leave the church, others from outside will replace them immediately. Will we be among those remain in the truth no matter what? Let me ask this question one more time. Will we be among those remaining in the truth no matter what? If this is your will, let me make a short prayer for you. Gary, I'm praying. Dear Father, I'm just making a short prayer for my brothers and sisters sitting in the pew. I pray that no matter what, they will stay loyal, true to you. That they would not leave the truth, they would not leave the church, because once they do it, they may be lost forever. You want to live with them in heaven. I want to see them in heaven. Let it be so, in the name of Jesus. Amen.